Go ahead and open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to be looking at that today. Specifically, we're going to be looking at verses 2 to 6, which is really the introduction of this book. And in these verses, as you're going there, in these verses, Solomon provides for us the purpose of this inspired book. It indicates for us the things that we're going to learn from it. You know, what is it that Proverbs teaches us? And I know that we've been looking at it already. We're kind of going back, but we're going to look at several things that Proverbs teaches us overall. You know, everybody knows that this is a wisdom book, right? Right. And the purpose of Proverbs is what? To teach us how to get wisdom, how to draw wisdom from this book so we can in turn be wise, wise people. You know, speaking of wisdom, some people think that wisdom comes easily. You know, does it? You know, some people think that, learning wisdom is not too bad. So they think that it's probably like taking a class, you know, like in school, I'll take a class, I pass it, A, no problem, I'm done. That's not wisdom. Some people think that they already have wisdom. But is that the case? Probably not. You know, reading the book of Proverbs once does not make you wise, you know, overall. So we're going to be looking at that a little bit. And we're going to be looking at this book, and the intention of it is to really transform us from one who can be naive, sometimes foolish, to someone who is mature and wise. Imagine that. Shocker, right? So we're going to be looking at it and focus on verses 2 to 6. And when we look at it, we're going to see that Solomon is giving us the very purpose of this book. Because every book in the Bible has a purpose. And so here in these verses 2 to 6, Solomon is giving us a purpose. Why is he writing it? What are the things that he's going to note here in this book? And it tells us here in these verses. A lot of these things are going to be very familiar to you. But at the same time, if you know them really well, I hope you will stay engaged. Don't zone out. Okay, so there's no picture, so we're good. All right, so read with me, verses 2 to 6. We'll start at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The first thing that we're going to see is that Proverbs provides skill for us. Proverbs provides skill. Look at verse number 2. The first part, to know wisdom. Wisdom, to know wisdom. Sometimes wisdom is confused with intellectual knowledge. Wisdom is much more than just being smart. I know many of you are really, really smart. That is not wisdom. It's much more than knowing facts and information. You know, a lot of the things that you read and learn, it's wisdom. It's way more than that. You know, it's like a person that always wins trivia games. You know people like that? It's like you play against them and at the end you know they're going to win. And you try hard, but they always win. It's like, oh, man. That in itself is not wisdom. It's basically just knowledge. So what is wisdom? Justin defined it for us last week. He says that wisdom is knowing what is right and doing it. Is knowing what is right and doing it. The wisdom referenced here is like a skill. Like a skill. This is being able to take information you know, information you have, and applying it to your life. In Scripture, a craftsman is said to be wise. It's said to be skillful. Like, for example, if we go back to the Old Testament, just listen to these verses. If we look in the Old Testament, wisdom is described as a skill. Like in Exodus 35, God gifted people with special skills to build a tabernacle. And in verse 31 of Exodus 31, listen to what we hear here. And he, God, has filled him with the, him is a person, with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all craftsmanship. So you get an idea that he, this person, God gifted with special skills. And then in verse 35, it kind of gives us a better idea of what the skill is. Verse 35 of Exodus 35 says, he, God, has filled them, multiple people, with skill. The ability to do something. He says, with skill to perform every work of an engraver, a designer, embroiderer, in blue and purple and scarlet material, and in fine linen, and a weaver, as performers of every work and makers of designs. You're probably thinking, what? What has that got to do with wisdom? It has a lot to do with wisdom. Because here, this is an illustration of how God sovereignly picks men to lead the construction of a building. The word says that God filled them with wisdom to do all these things that he outlined here. That sewing, construction, carving, all these things require wisdom. And God says here, the word says that God gave them the skill to do that. The skill to do that. And so in Proverbs, wisdom is the necessary skill to live a life that pleases God. That's what it is. And for a Christian, if you're in Christ, God has given you the skill to live a life that pleases him. Isn't that cool? The intention is not just to be like a book smart Christian, you know, that has all these answers about who God is, who Christ is, and the gospel. That's great to know those things, but that in itself is not sufficient. The intention of someone being wise is that you take that information that you know, and you are living out what you believe, what you know about God and Christ and the gospel. You see the difference? It's a big difference. It's not only knowing, but also applying what you know. Proverbs provides the skill you need to live life as a Christian. So when you read Proverbs, remember that it is teaching you a skill. Like learning a trade, you read, you learn, and then you apply. You put it into practice. That equals to wisdom. So the first point is Proverbs provides a skill. You guys hear a weird noise? Yeah? Is it me? Did I break this thing? Nah. All right. The second, I think it's the monitors. The second thing that Proverbs provides for us is instruction. So you have, what's the first one? Skill, thank you. The second one is instruction. What is instruction? You think of instruction as like a classroom. Many of you went back to school, right? And you received books. Do you guys still get books? Yeah? Sometimes? When I was in school, they gave us stone tablets. Okay, maybe not. Okay, instruction is someone who learns their skills through practice, through reading and practicing, not just sitting in a classroom, but again, applying the things that they learn. An example of this is not only school, but like a coach. You know, what does a coach do? Take, for example, the cross-culture flag football team. Justin gives these team members a piece of paper that has plays. And he could also give us rules. And he tells them to learn them. Learn these routes. Learn the offense and defense and all these things. And he encourages them to not only know them very well, but he also tells them, hey, by the way, if you play football, make sure you run. You know, kind of stay in shape. What would be the bad thing if you just read and never exercise? And you want to play football. Probably not good, right? A couple of steps and you're tired. So you don't want to do that. The thing is, you want to read, you want to learn, and then you want to put into practice. So like in flag football, what do? You read, you learn, and you stay fit, right? You get proper rest and so forth, so you can be able to be prepared for the game. So in the same way, Proverbs is going to instruct us in what to do in life, not just in the classroom setting to have like head knowledge, but it also gives us ways to know how to make the right decisions. That's why Solomon gives this contrast between a wise and a fool, a lazy and a hard worker, a bad friend versus a good friend. You know, and you're going to see it throughout Proverbs, and you've been seeing it, that a wise person makes good decisions and a fool always makes bad decisions. Pretty easy to understand, right? And all this wisdom always begins with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. So Proverbs will instruct us how to live as a Christian. So we have skill. Number two is, help me here, instruction. Thank you. I heard a couple. Okay, we're getting there. Okay, the third point is that Proverbs provides discernment. Discernment. Verse 2, to discern the sayings of understanding. Discernment is having the ability to know between what is right and what is wrong. What is right, what is wrong. Like, for example, if you go to the fridge, right, and you pull out milk, and you start pouring it, and you see these lumpy things coming out, what does discernment tell you? It's probably not good to drink it, right? That's discernment. It's having the ability to tell between what is right, what is wrong. You know, the difference between good bread, moldy bread kind of thing. Proverbs is going to teach us discernment so we can also tell what is true and what is false. When it comes to discernment, one of the things that really, that came to mind were the Bereans. You remember the Bereans back in Acts 17? Where it says that they were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. What did they do? Well, they received the word, the Bible says, with great eagerness. They received it gladly. But they were also examining the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. What was going on here? Well, they were really checking up on Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul were kind of checking the scriptures to see if the things that Paul was teaching them were right. Imagine that. That's discernment. They were being discerning whether Paul was teaching them the truth. The Apostle Paul, we think about it and say, man, that's pretty incredible. We see another illustration of discernment in chapter 4 of Proverbs. Turn there with me. Proverbs chapter 4. In this chapter, Solomon is teaching his kids how to be discerning. So in the first few verses, we see how Solomon provides instruction. Then in verses 23 to 27, how they need to act. How they need to act. This is really the results of being discerning. So Solomon begins by telling his sons the importance of instruction. And he says in verse 1, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father. He says, I'm teaching you something. And give attention that you may gain understanding. Please pay attention. That's what he's saying. Verse 2, for I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. I'm giving you truth. You need to pay attention. You need to receive it. And then from then on, he goes to instruct them on discernment. We're not going to go through the whole chapter. We're just going to look at a couple of things. Look at verse 14 and 15. And here he instructs them on being discerning. He says, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not proceed the way of evil men. So he mentions two things here, the path of the wicked, the way of evil men. Verse 15 says, regarding these two things, avoid it, don't pass by it, turn away from it, pass on, don't go there, get out of there, don't go there. And discernment is being wise about your surroundings. It's not wandering off aimlessly, you know, just going anywhere randomly. You know, it reminds me, when kids used to say, where they were going somewhere to the mall, whatever it may be, and says, but all my friends are going there. You ever said that before? Mom, why can't I go? All my friends are going. Well, where are they going? You know, are they going to do something that's fun, exciting, or are they going down the path of the wicked, the way of evil men? You have to be discerning about that. Discerning where you are, where you go, what you do. It's pretty much saying, don't follow the crowd. Don't go there if it's something bad. You know, I remember a few years back, I think it was the first or second time we went to on a youth trip to St. Louis. To St. Louis. I can't remember if it was the first or second time. We split up. It was a big group, too. There was like 100 people. So they split up us. They split us up in groups, and we did a geocaching scavenger hunt. Do you guys know what geocaching? Yeah, no. Well, what they do is we were in downtown St. Louis, and they gave each group a group of, I think there was like 20 of us. They gave each group a GPS device, and you're supposed to go find this thing somewhere. They give you like a piece of paper with coordinates and stuff, and then it guides you to where this thing is, whatever it is. So here we are with our piece of paper, our GPS, and we have like 20 kids are around. They're like 5 leaders, like something like that. And we're trying to find this thing. And they said, okay, it's going to be somewhere downtown. Cool. All right. Not a problem. So here we are, and we put the coordinates in this GPS, and it's guiding us, and we're walking, and all of a sudden, we're going away from downtown, and the sun is kind of going down. It's like, where is this thing? So we keep walking, and we ended up in this very isolated business complex. But it wasn't just your typical business complex. It was like very spooky, because you had like empty streets, and you had warehouses on both sides of the street with broken windows, and a homeless person here and there. The kicker of the thing is, you had some kids kind of going up to the broken windows and going, "What? Get out of there! You don't know what's gonna what? Get just get." So we're walking down the street. The GPS, oh, it's the right way to do it. And then we come down at the end of the street, and we end up in this ginormous wall. This is St. Louis. Well, guess what was on the other side of that ginormous wall? Take a wild guess. The Mississippi River. And there was flooding that year. It's like, oh my goodness, that's all we need, right? To be swept away. So discernment says we probably shouldn't be here. You know, when you have all that going on, it says we probably need to go. So we bolted out of there. Forget about this thingy that we're supposed to find. Let's just go. So we went back. We learned from that experience. And I'm thinking, this is my thinking, I'm guessing, that that's the reason we don't do any geocaching things. Maybe. I don't know. So that's discernment. You have to be discerning about those things. Solomon says in verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Don't pass by it. Turn away from it. Pass on. In our case, don't go wandering down the street with abandoned warehouses. Right? Don't go there. Yeah, so we bolted. It was good. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 to 27, Solomon tells his sons how they need to act. This is the result of being discerning. And he focuses on three areas here. The heart, their speech, their actions. The heart, their speech, their actions. First, he focuses on the heart. Look at verse 23, Proverbs 4. This is, again, discernment. He says, watch over your heart with all what? What does it say? Help me. Diligence. What is diligence? It's to protect it very carefully. Protect it very carefully. Why is this important? Why do you have to protect your heart this carefully? The second part, verse 23. Because, or from it, flow the springs of life. It's like flowing out of you. And it's not talking about throwing up. Okay? No, that's not what it's talking about. Flow The springs of life, the idea of something is that it comes out. Why is the heart so important? Because Jesus says in Matthew 12:34 that the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. It's very important. Then Solomon goes on to the second area, their speech. Verse 24, he says, "Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you." Don't even go there. Your speech tells who you really are. Did you know that? The way you speak says a lot about you. A lot about you. It's what Paul said in Ephesians 5:4. "And there must be," it's a command, "there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting." And then he says this word, "which are not fitting." What is that word fitting? It shouldn't be in the realm of a believer. "But rather giving of thanks." He says, oh, guard your heart. Guard your speech. Let it be with thanks. And then he goes to their actions in verse 25 of Proverbs 4. He says, "Let your eyes look directly ahead. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established." Verse 27, "Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil." Remember, they're not supposed to follow the path of the wicked or the way of evil men. Be discerning in that area. So you have to watch your heart, watch your speech, your actions, what you do, where you go. Being discerning also helps us understand absolutes. Absolutes. There is absolute truth. There is absolute right and the wrong. You know, don't buy into the thinking of this culture where they say, you know, what is right for you may not be right for me. What is true for you? You know, I kind of believe my own thing. So you believe what you believe and I'll believe what you believe and let's call it that. No, that's not it. In life, there are decisions that you and I have to make. And those decisions are either right or wrong. And it really has to do with two things. It has to do with either you want to obey God or you want to obey your flesh and sin. It really comes down to those things. So we need discernment so that we can become better at making decisions between what is right, what is wrong, what is true, what is false. Proverbs provides discernment. And you'll see that as you study it and you read it. So we've got number one is skill. Number two is? Number three is? Oh, I love you guys. Number four, Proverbs provide instruction on how to have discipline. I know you have a small space to write. I'm sorry. Proverbs provides instruction on how to have discipline, on how to be or how to be disciplined. Verse 3, "To receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity." And that equals to discipline. Another translation says it this way, "To teach people to live disciplined lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair." That, in a nutshell, is what it's saying here. So Proverbs will teach you the discipline to receive the instruction of wisdom. When it's the words here, wise behavior, that it says here in verse 3, basically means to live wisely. Live wisely. And it's talking about learning how to have a disciplined life. And you're going to see that as you read Proverbs. For example, listening to teaching takes discipline. Listening to teaching takes discipline. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Verse 8 says, "The wise of heart will receive commands." You know, it takes discipline to sit and listen, does it not? Yeah, it takes discipline. You know, it takes discipline to sit there and just stay focused, to stay engaged and not let your mind wander. You know, like, what am I going to eat today? You know, boy, I'm hungry. Oh, those pastries were so good this morning. I think I'll go get another. You know, no, stay engaged, stay focused, especially when Tom is preaching or Justin or anyone else. We need to have the discipline to stay engaged, to listen properly, not to snooze away, but we need to stay engaged. I know it's hard sometimes. I know it's hard. But that's a discipline that we need to have. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. 12. I was going to say 4. We just went through 4. Proverbs chapter 12. Speaking of discipline and listening. In verse 15, listen to the contrast that Solomon outlines for us here. He says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." I mean, everything he does is, "I'm good," even though he's like way off the beaten path. He says, "But a wise man is he who listens to counsel." What does that mean? Not only does he have the humility to listen, but also he has the discipline just to sit there and listen, to receive that counsel. Go to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. Solomon says, "Listen to counsel and accept discipline. Why? That you may be wise the rest of your days." You see the benefit of that? Paul wrote about discipline as well in 1 Corinthians 9:27, where he says that "I discipline my body and make it my slave." I make my body my slave. What does that mean? He says that discipline is not to allow your body or your flesh to control you. As a Christian, someone who has the Holy Spirit, you have the ability to control the body, your body. You have that ability. And you know that. If you're in Christ, you have the ability through the Holy Spirit to have a disciplined life. You're saying, "What? But it's so hard." Yes, it is. It takes hard work. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. You have to work at it very hard. And you have to be consistent as well. And this is not new to you. You all know this. It takes time. But you know what? As you read and meditate on Scripture and you apply it to your life, you will see a gradual change on becoming a more disciplined person. It's pretty cool. It's great if you start putting that into practice at your age. It's great. It's going to help you down the road, years down the road. You can look back and say, "Man, I'm glad I started studying Proverbs and it's helped me so much to become a better Christian, a more disciplined Christian, someone who makes better decisions, good decisions." You can start now if you haven't done so already. As Christians, we need to consistently work at being disciplined in order to grow in wisdom. Solomon says here in verse 3 that if you have discipline, if you have the discipline to receive instruction, the result will be that you're going to show righteousness and justice and equity. It just means equity means that you're going to be fair. Proverbs provides instruction on how to have discipline. So you have number one, skill. Number two, number three, number four. Very good. Number five, Proverbs provides prudence. Prudence. The first part of verse 4, to give prudence to the naive. What is a naive person? No? We don't use it that much. Naive is someone who is simple-minded, someone who's gullible, someone who's easily persuaded. You know, it's the type of person that you can walk up to and say, "Hey, did you know the word gullible is not in the dictionary?" They may look at you and say, "Whoa, really? I didn't know that." Gullible. You know, that's what it is. So, some of you are saying, "What?" Never mind. Hey, just let's move on. All right, prudence. What is prudence? Prudence is another word that we don't use as much, but it's a good word because it means craftiness, being cautious, using good judgment, common sense. That's what prudence means. And prudence is the ability to determine what is dangerous and to stay away from it. You know, this word prudence appears only three times in the Bible, and it's all three times for it is in Proverbs. For example, Proverbs 8:5 says, "O naive ones, understand prudence. O fools, understand wisdom." In verse 12, Proverbs 8 says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion." You know, being prudent is the ability to determine what is wrong in order to do what is right. It's kind of very similar to discernment. That's what it is. Proverbs will teach us how to be prudent, how to have good judgment. And as Christians, we need prudence. We need to be taught what is spiritually dangerous, because it's easy for you and I to go through life carelessly, not knowing that sometimes we're heading towards dangerous things. We need to be prudent every day. Let me ask you a question. How prudent, or are you using prudence on the music you listen to? You know, are you using good judgment? Are you using common sense? Are you doing, you know, what everyone does is listen to whatever, even though the lyrics could be filthy or whatever? Are you using prudence when you browse on the internet or you watch certain movies? Are you using good judgment, common sense? Are you being prudent when you're hanging out with your friends outside of church and your home? Are you going places, doing things you shouldn't be? Are you using prudence? Are you using good judgment? Are you using common sense in these areas? You know, if you're in Christ, you should be. You should be, and you must be. So the book of Proverbs provides the instruction you and I need in order to become more prudent in our lives so we can make better decisions about what? What we're involved, what we are involved with, what we spend time with, the things we do in our private life. We need to have good judgment about that. So prudence is not only going to keep us from danger, but it's going to help us be disciplined and grow in our relationship with God. Proverbs will teach you how to be prudent. Okay, so we have skill, we have instruction, we have prudence. Very good. Number six. Proverbs provides discretion. To the youth, verse 4, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. I know what you're thinking. Oh no, here it comes. No, it's okay. It's not that bad. It's all right. Just bear with me. You know, but I do have to agree that sometimes youth take a bad rap. I understand that. Because, you know, some teens do dumb things, and all the teens are painted with a broad brush, right? Ah, teens. They always do dumb things. That's not the case. I understand that. But let's be honest, okay? Youth need discretion. Is that true or false? Someone say, I don't know, I don't want to answer. Okay? It's okay. You don't have to answer, but youth need discretion. You know why I know? Because I was there one time. And I needed a lot of discretion. We all need it. You know, youth need discretion. I remember those times. You know, I wish that someone was there to knock me upside the head. But moving on. What is discretion? It's the ability to make responsible decisions, being able to separate things or distinguish between one or the other. And what Proverbs is saying is that youth are young people that don't have life experience. What? Shocker. You know, Why is that important? Why is that the case? Why is it that youth don't have the life experience? Some of you say, well, you know what, I'm 18. That's great. You know, you have more experience than the kids in junior high. That's wonderful. But youth don't have the life experience that adults have. You know, like the 40 years and the 50 years and the 50 plus years. And you're going, oh my goodness, that's ancient. I know. But, you know, we have a lot of life experience. A lot of it is very challenging. A lot of it is good. And a lot of it comes from growing in the Lord. Those are the things that the youth are lacking, that you are lacking. You know, you don't have the life experience that adults have because you haven't lived as long. You know, and for that reason, you know, you're kind of behind on the experience you need. Young people need discretion, especially these days with all the technology. You need to be discreet. You need to have discretion. You know that. Now, let me say this. I do have a disclaimer. That's not to say that adults don't need discretion. We need it too. We need it a lot as well. But here the text is talking about young people. So I'm glad I don't have to talk about old people. All right. So how well do you use discretion? How well do you use discretion? For example, your friends. Turn to, well, you're in Proverbs 1. Or turn there if you're not there already. Turn to Proverbs 1. Let's see how well you use discretion. I'm going to ask you a question. This is not a trick question. Proverbs chapter 1. Would you hang around with someone like this? Come with us, verse 11. Let us lie and wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. How many of you would hang around with people like this? Why not? Why not? Tell me why not. Yes. Leads to death. Why? Are you going to get killed? What's wrong with this? I mean, now these are friends, right? Would you go down? No, of course not. Discretion says this is not a good crowd, right? You don't have to be a genius to find this out. All right, so let me bring it home a little bit. What about this? Proverbs 3. Go there. Proverbs 3. What about helping others? Verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. How many of you are willing to help others when you can help them? Raise your hand. All right. Some of you said, I don't know about this. All right. Well, guess what? You can. You can practice this right here in youth. On Sunday, on Wednesday. How do you do that? Great question. I'm glad you're thinking about that. You know, when you come in the door, don't come straight to the snacks. Grab your coffee, grab your whatever it is, and go sit down or go within your circle of friends. You can practice this by going out to talking to people outside your circle of friends. Isn't that something? You can practice this. We need to have discretion to be able to look around us and say, wow, I haven't seen that person before. I don't talk to that person before. Maybe I should go say hi. I know what some of you are thinking. Okay? If you're a guy, go talk to a guy, okay? I know where you're going. Don't go there. That's all I need. It's for Justin to say, what are you doing? No. This is part of discretion. Looking beyond you, outside of your circle of friends, to reach out to other people, to help other people. And I know some of you do that, and that's great. That's wonderful. But we need more people like that. We need more people like that. Look at Proverbs 2, chapter 2. verse 10. For wisdom, verse 10, will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. You know what it's saying? Proverbs provides spiritual discretion. And it does for the youth, for adults, for everyone. Proverbs provides spiritual discretion. So we have skill, we have instruction, thank you. You have prudence, you have, and then seventh, guidance. Guidance. Verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. We see two kinds of men mentioned here. A wise man, a man of understanding. You know, some people think that age is a sign of wisdom. That's false. That's not the case. Because there are many foolish old people and many wise young people. And it's vice versa. We look, for example, we have an example here in church. We have Justin and Dusty and Jonathan. These are young people. They're very young. They're very wise. And we should be very grateful for them. God has gifted them with wisdom. Solomon provides here insight into how a mature Christian will respond to wisdom. You know, when someone who is considered wise, they're not elevated to like a different status. You know, like take, for example, Pastor Tom. You don't see him walking around as like, I'm wise already. Don't talk to me. You know, you people are beneath me. Nothing like that. He's so humble. He's so gracious. He's so kind. That's the result of being wise. And the example here that this man of understanding, this wise man, is going to receive instruction. Like, for example, look at the two people. A wise man will hear. What is he hearing? That he's going to get more wisdom and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. And what he's saying that the wise man will increase in learning, will apply what he hears and become wiser. A man of understanding is the same. He'll receive instruction. He'll receive wisdom and continue being wiser. This is the complete opposite of pride. How does that apply to you? You know, if the Lord is working in your heart and you're learning a lot of things from Scripture and you see in your life that you're becoming wise, right? That should make you humble, not prideful. So you're able to receive more wisdom. So when someone gives you more advice, you're going to receive it gladly so you can apply that to your life and add to your wisdom. Proverbs 9:9 says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. Proverbs 14:6, listen to what it says. A scoffer, we see an example. A scoffer says, seeks wisdom and finds none, right? Because he can't. He doesn't have the ability. But knowledge is easy to one who has understanding. You see the contrast between, again, a wise and a fool. You know, I hope none of you have the mindset that you've got it all figured out. I know being young is a great time in your life and you're able to learn a lot of things. But don't come to a point in your life to say, I got it all. I got it. No problem. You know, I don't need the book of Proverbs anymore. No. Be humble. You know, if you're in Christ, receive that instruction. Receive that wisdom so you can become wiser still. And also receive that wisdom. because we don't want to be wise in our own understanding. Proverbs talks about this. He says, do not be wise in your own understanding. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. We all need guidance. Proverbs provides that for us. We have skill. We have, oh man, yeah, the instruction. We have, and the last thing is understanding. Some of you are probably thinking, it's about time. Proverbs provides understanding. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. When you read this, you're going, what? What is a figure? What is a riddle? You know, what is all this? Well, it just means that these are things that are hard to understand. An example of this is in the Old Testament, an illustration of this is when the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon to try to stump him. Because she had heard how wise Solomon was. And in 1 Kings chapter 1, we see that when the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. Difficult questions is riddles, you know, things that are hard to understand. And she spoke to Solomon about all that was in her heart. So she came to Solomon and said, you know what, I heard that you're pretty wise. I'm going to stump him. I'm going to see how wise he really is. So the Bible says that she spoke to him about everything that was in her heart, meaning her mind, with all her questions, difficult questions. Now, what happened? Verse 3, 1 Kings 10 says that Solomon answered all her questions, all of them. Nothing was hidden from the king which he did not explain to her. That's pretty cool. So in verse 6, the Queen of Sheba says, oh, it was true. It was true. The report that I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe it. When they told me how wise you were, I didn't want to believe it. Because I'm thinking, this guy can't be that good. There's no way. But she says, no, when I came and I saw it with my own eyes, behold, half was not told to me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity, the report which I heard. You exceed even what people told me about you. You were wiser. You're wiser than what I even heard. The neat thing about this is that the Queen of Sheba doesn't go back to Solomon and say, oh, Solomon, you rock. You're a star. You're cool. And no, she went back and praised God. That's the beauty about this. Wisdom, you know, it's all the focusing on God. And she says in verse 9, 1 Kings 10, blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness. The praise went back to God. Isn't that cool? I thought that was really cool. So the idea in verse 6 is to have understanding is someone that understands what is offered here in the book of Proverbs. The more you read and the more you pray for wisdom, the more skilled you will be to understand some of the difficult things that are in this book. And you're going to be able to apply these things to your life as well. You know, but if you feel like it's overwhelming, if you feel like you're reading through Proverbs and says, man, I just don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Well, pray. Pray to God for wisdom. After all, James 1:5 says that if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who's able to give to all generously and without reproach. Pray. You don't understand things in Proverbs? Pray that God will give you wisdom. That's what Proverbs provides. It provides skill. It provides instruction. It provides and prudence and guidance and understanding. Thank you. You've been very helpful. You know, we've gone over very general terms, you know, not specific terms. We've seen a couple of examples. But what I want you to know is that wisdom is not some kind of concept. It's not a concept. It's a skill in living your daily life in Christ. And it starts with fearing the Lord. You know, as a summary, Proverbs will provide ways for you to guard your mind and select your friends and control your body and watch your words and be a hard worker and how to manage your money and how do you love your neighbor. You know, when you read Proverbs, look at those things. They're there. And when you've learned these, you've learned wisdom. It's great. You know, let me ask you a question. Are you wise? Do you consider yourself wise? Another question is, are you growing in wisdom? Proverbs provides that for you. And you're going to see that in the different lessons that you're going to hear. I hope that you'll pay attention. You'll see all these elements in Proverbs, in the lessons that you hear, and also in your study of Proverbs. You know, for a Christian, we have the ability to grow in wisdom because we have the Holy Spirit. He has enabled us to grow in all these things. It's great. But I also realize that there are people here that are not Christians. My question is, do you want to become wise? Do you want this wisdom that Proverbs offers? It begins with fearing the Lord. I pray that you would repent of your sins, ask God for forgiveness, and ask God to give you the wisdom that is described here in Proverbs. And in turn, you will be able to live a life that honors Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this book. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in giving us this wisdom book that we're able to see how we can live a life that pleases you. I pray for these young people. Lord, give them the wisdom to live a life that honors you. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.